Okay. All right. So did everybody have a chance to read the to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So so what I'd like to do is actually read it again. So I know that that'll take a little bit of time, but it's getting the story back and more try to than our actual history. And the big issue or the big focus, and then we'll see to what degree we can expand that that focus. So does anybody know what the big focus is in basically Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Malachim? In other words, what's the big chet that's really the focus there? Anyone feel free to jump in?
Is it Bnei Israel asking for a king so they can be like the other nations?
I think that pretty much hits the nail on the head, right? So it all pretty much goes back to the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, and analyzing the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel and seeing how does it fit into that theme. So that's really that would be another topic. But pretty much, it's just one long elaboration of that chet. And so in every sipur that you do in Shmuel and Malachim, so it's always going to come back to some elaboration or chet that's connected to that. So and then we have to see in an organic way how that can expand out and relate to, because in a certain sense you might say, well, how does that relate to us, this issue of the sin of choosing a king? Whereas why is that such a fundamental focus? So that's something to keep in the back of our minds as an issue. So, but I wanted to start with David because for me personally, I find that David is feels like the most real human being in terms of reading Shmuel and Malachim, meaning he comes across as a person who had real issues to deal with, and I think we could see what I mean by that. Does anybody want to expand on that idea, or do other people relate to that idea of identifying with David?
I've never learned Navi.
Oh, you never learned Navi? Okay. As chatai ani mazkir hayom. So.
I've heard Haftoros.
All right. So this will be your crash course.
Yeah.
So it's worth it. And one of the things that stands out about David, I'll just wax poetic about David a little bit, is it goes into, in other words, there's a tremendous subtlety to how the Tanakh describes David, and every time I read it, I feel that it connects deeper and deeper to real experiences that I have in my life. So, in other words, the kind of challenges he had, the people that he had to deal with. Like somebody once asked me if I had any advice for how to deal with difficult people. So I said, what do you suggest? Reading any self help books. So I said, read Sefer Shmuel. So, and I think that nobody had to deal with more difficult personalities than David. And but David is described later on as the only exception to David's perfection or to the wholeness of David's heart was the incident with Bathsheba. That was his worst moment. So and very often when people talk about David and Bathsheba, they skip immediately to chapter 11. Where the story seems to begin. So, and that's a bit of a mistake because things don't happen in isolation. And it's very important when reading any story to have a sense of context, especially the immediate context. So that's what I'd like to, why I'd like to start, really from chapter 9. And what I'd like to do is we'll read it together, and we'll point out certain things, and then the end goal is going to be to try to get a sense of what were the small mistakes in the beginning, as a great man once said, right? What were the small mistakes that he made in the beginning that led to the very big mistake? So let's take a look at Perek Tet. What are people using a Tanakh or a Mikrot Gedolot?
We all have our scroll Tanakhs right here.
Okay, so I'll use an art scroll Tanakh too. So page 742. That way we could all be on the same page. So who's here right now? We have Matt, Johnny, and Carolyn.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else here?
Yaakov's here.
Hey, Yaakov. Somebody just called in?
Yeah. Yael.
Okay. Oh, hi, Yael.
Hi, Yehuda.
Hi. We just started. I was just starting us off. So we're going to start in Chapter 9, and I was just explaining why we're starting in Chapter 9 as opposed to Chapter 11, and that the focus we want to have is on David and Bathsheba as being the one exception to David's, glorious career and how his heart was whole with Hashem, and the only exception was in this area. So would somebody like to read, or is it better that I read?
I love reading.
What?
I love reading.
You want to read?
Yeah.
Do you want to read in the Hebrew and translate, or should I do that?
Whichever.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I have the English in front of me, so I can cheat if I need to.
Okay, no problem. So Perek Tet, Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer David.
Okay, Vayomer David.
I'll probably interrupt you a lot.
Okay.
Somebody else just beeped in?
I don't think that was a call-in beep. I think that was a beep-beep.
Beep-beep. I guess I'll get to learn the system. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Yael.
Vayomer David, Hachi Yesh Od Asher Notar Levet Shaul. Is anything left from the house of Shaul? Said David. Ve'asei mo chesed b'avor Yonatan. Oh, is anybody left? I will do with him kindness for Yonatan.
Okay, so I'll fill in people who need a little filling in the story. So David famously had to run away from Shaul. Shaul had his own issues. And became very jealous of David. People were very, very fond of David when Shaul was still king, and he made it his mission to destroy David. But David was very, very close with Shaul's son Yehonatan, and they had made a covenant with each other that they would, basically David would take care of Yehonatan's household. So now, at this point in the story, in Shmuel Bet. David has already reached the peak of his success. He's defeated his enemies. He's moved the Aron to Yerushalayim. He's also established his capital in Yerushalayim. And just to I'll fill in the story just a little bit. So David was first just king of Yehuda. And after Shaul died, Shaul's son, Ishbosheth, became king of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Yisrael. So he was in Mahanaim. That was his capital. So, and it's very, very important to remember when learning Shmuel and Malachim that Israel was not a united kingdom. So even though it was not united, it became united under David and Shlomo, but even under them, it was really a somewhat weak union, meaning it was really almost like there was the north, the 10 tribes, which would be called Yisrael, And then there was Yehuda, so the south, which sort of Yerushalayim would be actually right on the border of the kingdom of Yehuda, and the northern kingdom of Yisrael. That's why David moved his capital when he became king of all of Israel to Yerushalayim, because it was a much better location. It would be a central location between both kingdoms, as opposed to Hebron, which was in the center of Yehuda. So as the story goes, Ish-bosheth becomes weaker, and he eventually is assassinated, and the northern kingdom makes David their king as well. So in a sense, David is really the king of two kingdoms, and of these two kingdoms, which in a sense become one kingdom under David, and he moves the Aron to its new location in Yerushalayim, and he also then wants to, because he's gotten peace from all his enemies, he wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. He wants to build a Bayit Lashem. But so God famously does not allow him and says instead he's going to make David a Bayit. And it's really a separate, it's a whole separate inyan, the issue of, why David was not allowed to build the Beit HaMikdash. And now David is very successful, and that's where our story begins, because right before Perek Tet, it kind of summarizes the peak of David's kingdom. So,
I don't really know the story so well, but you mentioned before that, David's whole, I guess his whole career was very good, and he had a very, he was very successful, and his only major failing was with Bathsheba. But
right.
It seems the fact that God didn't let him build the Beit HaMikdash is another big flaw. So. You obviously know better than I do, but I would, if I was researching this area on my own, I would, look for some sort of connection between those two things, because those are the two big.
Right. Well, it comes out. Maybe we could do that story next, but I think it comes out after analysis of that story. My sense is that it was not a failing on David's part, but it's what is really necessary in order for there, in other words, the conditions were not there yet for there to be a Beit HaMikdash. In other words, mitzad David, David would have been fine but there are other conditions, and the key is to understanding the idea of a bayit, that the Beit Hashem can only exist when there's a Beit Malchut, which is established. But that's really, to go into the nuances of that idea is a whole, is a story in and of itself. But it does not seem that it was because of a sin on David's part. And especially you see that Natan, so David had asked, Natan, can I build the Beit Lashem? And Natan was of the opinion that he could, but Natan had to receive a special nevuah to tell him that David could not build the Beit HaMikdash. And then David is promised that his bayit will be established. In other words, he wants to build a Beit Lashem, and then he's told you will a bayit or a dynasty will be established for you. So I guess just to clarify that a little bit more, Matt. Saying that David, in other words, that his heart was whole, except for in this instance, does not mean that David had no weaknesses up until this point. But I think that's another very important idea. That meaning there's a difference between chet and between having certain weaknesses that one overcomes. Meaning David really seems to be a beautiful expression of the idea of one who's kovesh, as Yitzro. But you know, we'll get more into that, because we have to really. There's a story that we'll compare the story of Bathsheba to the story of David and Abigail. So, and that's a story where David almost committed a horrible crime, but he did not, and we'll have to see, you know, why that was. So okay. Okay.
The Northern and Southern Kingdom?
I can't hear.
You were talking about the Northern and Southern Kingdom?
Say that again?
It was ongoing throughout the period of the Navi, the Northern and Southern Kingdom, like Yehuda and everybody else?
Right, that was ongoing.
Just where do you see that that's ongoing? I mean, you have the different tribal things, but
right.
It seems like in Shaul's time there was unity.
Right.
Then it splits between Yehuda and everybody else. Then after Shlomo, it's Yehuda and Binyamin and everybody else. So Binyamin
right.
joins up with Yehuda, and you know, and then beforehand in the Shoftim was just like each like subgroup of tribes. So why are you viewing this like Yehuda and everybody else?
Well, I mean that Yehuda and everybody else seems to emerge in the time of Shaul.
Right.
And. I wasn't saying that that was necessarily before the time of Shaul. My suspicion is that it didn't begin there, because usually things like that don't just suddenly emerge.
But beforehand, it wasn't just Yehuda. It was like even in the northern, it was just like each tribe or each like set of like two or three tribes.
Right. That's right. No, definitely. Meaning under Shaul, the northern kingdom became more unified, but it seems that Yehuda. Had a, in other words, if Yehuda was not at that time more a separate entity, then David would not have been able to emerge as the leader of Yehuda. In other words, because then they would have been loyal to Shaul.
And Binyamin just flipped under Shlomo, where they loyal to Shlomo.
Right, because Binyamin, it's sort of hard to say because they're right on the border. I mean, there were, in other words, it was not necessarily that all of Binyamin necessarily were with Yehuda. It might have been somewhat split, but because Binyamin, well, you will see if you look. There's a story which shows why Binyamin became very loyal to David, but not to get too far afield. But that basic division, which seems to show itself at least, you know. So we'll say the division which becomes clear in the time of Shaul, that division remains for the rest of the period of the kings. So you hear?
Yeah.
Okay. So the that division remains. You're right, but before in the time of the Shoftim, so that division was not as apparent. In other words, there was, you know, at different times, depending on need, you know, certain Shevatim would join, certain Shevatim would not join. So we see at the end of Perek Chet, the success of David, and that's. Pasuk Tetvav. So it says. So it's after, you know, talks about his different victories. It says, "Vayimloch David al kol Yisrael." So David reigned upon all of Israel. Vayhi David osem mishpat utzdaka l'chol amo. And David did justice and righteousness to his entire people. And I know you've been talking a lot about mishpat and tzedakah. So that's that's the peak of David's kingdom, and then it, you know, gives a sort of an outline of his of David's cabinet. You know, Yoab ben Tzruiah atzava, Yoab ben Tzruiah was his general, Yosha ben Achilud a maskir, v'tzadok ben Achitzavachi Melech ben Aviatar Kohanim, Israya Sofer, v'nei ben Yehoyada v'hakreti v'apleti, v'nei David Kohanim hayu. And then our story begins. So David wants to know, is there anybody, you know, now that his kingdom has been well established, now he can deal with the oath that he had made to Yehonatan, his good friend, that he would take care of his household. Okay, so Yael, you want to continue?
Okay. How did Yonatan die in the war?
He died at the end of Shmuel Aleph. So he died with his mother battle.
Oh. Okay. Ulevet Shaul Eved Ushmo Tziva Vikru Lo El David Vayomer Hamelech Elav Hata Tziva Vayomer Avdecha. So Shaul's house had a servant named Tziva, and David called for him. They brought him to the king, David. And the king said, "Are you Tziva?" And he said, "I'm your servant." Vayomer HaMelech, Ha'efes Od Ish Levet Shaul. Is there anybody? The king said, "Is there anybody left from the house of Shaul?" Da'asei Mo Chesed. I will do Chesed Elohim. I will do for him the kindness of Hashem. Vayomer Tziva El HaMelech, Od Bein LeYonatan Nechei Raglayim. Tziva said to the king, "There is still a son of Yonatan. His legs are bad." Vayomer lo hamelech, eifahu. And the king said, "Where is he?" Vayomer tziva al hamelech, hinehu beit machir, ben amiel below davar. Tziva said to the king, "He's in the house of machir, the son of amiel, without anything."
No, in that was the name of the place, in lo davar.
Oh, in lo davar. Vayishlach hamelech David, vikachehu mibeit machir ben amiel milo davar. And the king David sent and took him out of the house of Machir of Amiel in Lodavar. Ve'avo Mephibosheth el Yehonatan ben Shaul el David, ve'epol al panav ve'ishtachu. And Mephibosheth, the son of Yonatan, the son of Shaul, came to David, and he fell on his face and he bowed. Ve'omer David Mephibosheth, and David said, Mephibosheth, ve'omer hinei avdecha. And he said, "Your servant is here." Ve'omer lo David, al tira, ki aso ese imcha chesed, v'avor Yehonatan evicha, v'ashivoti lecha et kol sedei Shaul avicha. Ve'ata tochal lechem al shulchani tamid. And David said, "Don't be afraid, because I will surely do kindness with you for the sake of Yonatan your father, and I will return to you all the fields of Shaul your father, and you will eat at my table, bread at my table always." Vayishtachu vayomer me'avdecha. And he bowed, and he said, "What is your servant? Kifanita el hakelev hamet asher kamoni. That you should pay attention to the dead dog like me. A dead dog like me." Vayikra hamelech el tziva. And the king called tziva, na'ar sha'ul, the boy servant of Shaul, v'yomer elav, kol asher hayel Shaul ulchol beito natati leven adonecha. Everything that belonged to Shaul and his whole household I have given to the son of your master. V'avadita lo el et adama asher ata uvanecha v'avadecha v'yveita v'hayel leven adonecha lechem v'achalo v'achalo. And you should serve him and for him, the ground, you and your sons and your servants, and you should bring something, and it will be for the son of your master. Oh, we'll make bread for him and feed him. Mephibosheth ben Adonecha yochal tamid lechem al shulchani, and Mephibosheth, the son of your master, will always eat bread on my table. Ul tziva chamisha sarbanim vesrim avadim. And tziva had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ve'omer tziva el hamelech. And tziva said to the king, kachol asher yitzave adoni hamelech et avdo ken yasa avdecha. According to everything that the king has commanded, my master the king has commanded his servant, so I will. Your servant will do. Umifiboshet ochel al shulchani ke'achad mimnei hamelech. So I guess David said that. Mifiboshet will eat on my table like one of the sons of the king. What's that?
Oh, okay, right. Okay.
Umifiboshet ben katan ushmo Micha. And Mifiboshet had a small son named Micha. V'chol Moshav Beit Tziva Avedim L'Mefiboshet. And the entire dwelling of the household of Tziva were servants to Mefiboshet. Mefiboshet Yoshev Yerushalayim, and Mefiboshet lived in Yerushalayim. Ki al Shulchan HaMelech Tamid Hu Ochel, because he always had to eat from the table of the king. V'hu Piseach Shtei Raglav, and he was crippled in his two legs.
Right, so I want to make a point of that. So, okay. So Moshav sounds like a pretty expansive kind of, in other words, kind of possession, right? So
it sounds like Tziva was like some really rich guy and now he's a servant.
Mm-hmm. So what do you guys say about that? Any commentary?
Why is it strange for you have a really rich guy who's like the like servant of the king? Doesn't seem like the lowly slave, like you have the person who's in charge of the household, like the minister of the house or whatever. So that person himself could have property and be an important person.
He could what?
Saying like the person who's the, you know, the person who runs the king's household, the king's palace, wouldn't be a lowly servant. I mean, it makes sense that he would have, you know, Lord himself would have a certain amount of power, a certain amount of wealth.
Right. So the thing, it makes sense that he has such expansive holdings and property and servants of his own and his own children.
When it says Tziva was the servant, it doesn't seem like it means like just like one of the many servants who happened to be in the house, but it seems like someone who would know if there was anybody left. It's like an important, like one who ran, you know, shovels, no hat, so it ran his hand.
Right. So he sounds like, in other words, he's not a simple servant. At least from the way it's describing, it sounds more like, in other words, like a Yosef. Or is this is a servant who runs things? You know, this is a servant who's you know, not like lowly guy who washes the king's feet or something, or is this an important person? So does anybody, can anybody imagine a problem that might emerge here?
I'm having a hard time just understanding the whole, like, what's the whole significance of him, you know, like what's the big deal? Like, why does he have to make sure that it sounds almost like this is the only guy left to inherit anything, so he's making sure that he gets his rightful inheritance, which seems sort of, it just seems very strange. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I can understand, like, just even because of his life situation, like this particular guy was not having the function of his legs, like, okay, like, so it's a very nice thing that for him to like make sure he's taken care of, just it, as if he was any Jew, whatever, but like I feel like there's something very significant going on here and I'm totally missing the main point.
Right. Okay. Right, so that's so part of the backstory is that David's oath to Yehonatan.
Mm-hmm.
So he had made an oath to Yehonatan that he would take care of his household.
Seems like he didn't do a very good job. He's finally getting around to it now.
Okay, so one, he's waiting a long time. But can anybody explain that, why he would wait so long?
I guess to get a stabilized kingdom first.
Right, what could be a problem of doing it earlier?
Reopens the conflict. But, I mean,
right.
As long as Ish-Boshet was alive, it was an open civil war. So at that point, like, you can't do, because he's, you know, ostensibly at least, you know, an enemy of some sort.
Right.
So it has to wait till that's over and you've already established the kingdom where there's no longer like two competing kingdoms where giving a Beis Sha'ol would reopen Binyamin's complaint.
Right, exactly. Right, so I mean, you know, Obama can't give a position to Hillary until everything is put behind them, you know? It wouldn't make sense to start making promises, you know, and helping earlier until the conflict is over. So Right. So now seems to be really the first opportunity. In other words, he's at the peak of his kingdom. There is Ishbosheth. You know, is not a problem anymore. He's defeated his enemies. Now he can keep his his promise to Yehonatan. But I think that there's a there still might be a problem with what happened here.
I mean, it seems like it seems like when if Tivo was such a big shot in Shaul's kingdom, it seems like you might have loyalty problems. You know, even after Dawid establishes the unified kingdom, you know. Like,
mm-hmm.
Are you still comfortable in, you know, taking in the servant of the enemy in such a
right.
high position?
Right. So one thing, it's one thing to do kindness to your friend's son, but there seems like there, in other words, it's hard to say yet, but if we were to, we could definitely see room here that there might be certain mistakes being made. It's hard to know yet for sure, but there seems like something's a little bit off. Also, somebody who had such a high position in Shaul's kingdom to now be made servant to Shaul's grandson, who's repeatedly being described. This is a crippled individual. This is a person who's not capable of leadership. But and now taking somebody, in other words, you don't want to ruffle any feathers like that. In other words, you're taking somebody who has his own established household. He has a moshav, in other words, an expansive, an expansive holdings. So now making him and all of his sons and all of his servants to Mephibosheth seems just a little bit troubling. In other words, I'd be worried. You know, David might be setting himself up for some problems in the future. And in fact, I'm not basing that on nothing. We do have problems in the end with Tziva, and Mephibosheth. So you look at chapter Ted Zion. So and then a little bit later in let me see, it's chapter Ted Zion on page page 763, we have a little bit of an issue there. And after the whole problem with Avshalom, page 775 in Perik Yod Tet. So we have the continuation of that story. So we do see some problems later on. So that's just something to keep in mind as we continue on with the story. So seems there might be a little bit of an issue, and I think from the next story we might be able to see a little bit further what the issue is. So okay.
That's a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this guy, the cripple, right? So he's literally the only guy left from Beis Shaul, right?
It seems so.
So. What were his options have been? Like, technically, really, like, everything is his. So, like, David's really sort of just, like, pointing that out. Like, what's the alternative? That David would just confiscate all of the territory for himself and just divide it up however he wanted to? Or, I mean, was this servant guy somehow, like, possessing the stuff unrightfully? I mean, like, I don't really understand. Like, it seems like what David did technically, like, from a purely, like, I don't know, like, normal din monetary type perspective, like, it's totally straight. It's just, in terms of human perspective, in terms of how people, like, relate to a cripple, like you were saying, like, a cripple can't be a leader. Well, okay, like, technically, he is the one who inherited, like, that position in a certain sense, but... like, practically, people aren't going to look at him that way. So, I mean, it's sort of like, I mean, like, technically, everything was straight, but, you know...
There's one thing. The problem is that Shaul was the previous king, mm-hmm. and David is continuously having to establish himself you know, in opposition to Shaul, but at the same time being very careful to not insult Shaul, because his, in other words, his kingdom is made up largely of people who are very loyal to Shaul and loved Shaul. So, you know, so on one hand he has to show loyalty, on the other hand he has to be careful, because, you know, in other words, you don't want to, it's one thing to be nice and to do what's right, but it's another thing to, you know, to jeopardize the security of the kingdom by strengthening people who might in the future cause you problems. So, you know, so maybe, all right, giving him the field of Shaul, so that's one thing, but does that mean, so, but how do now people view, you know, the house of Shaul? Are they, is this sort of like a, you know, a resurgence? Also making Siva his servant, was that necessary? You know, was that a necessary, you know, thing to do in order to take care of him?
Why did he do that, by the way?
It doesn't seem to it doesn't seem to reveal the reason why. You're just sort of left perplexed. Why did he do that? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So you know why? What was the? In other words, is he eating from the table of the king, or is he eating from the table of Tzifa? In other words, who is? In other words, David could have provided for Mephibosheth. But instead, it seems like this sort of dual kind of arrangement. He eats from the table of the king, but Siva is providing him everything. In other words, it's not Siva has to work the fields of Mephibosheth. The whole arrangement, you know, it just seems to call out trouble. Right?
I thought that Siva was already working those fields because, like, he took them or something, and now then it sort of makes sense that he would keep working them.
It doesn't say that. I don't think, he was in, it's not clear. It's not clear that Siva was, had his, property. Right?
Right.
Well, that's part of what I was saying. Like, what was
unclear,
the...
It's unclear who was holding the fields of Shaul. Mm-hmm. But, it seems that, that seems to not be an issue that, that was significant. But you know who had these fields. Meanwhile, but the significant thing was that he's giving Mephibosheth those fields, and making Tziva, who had been the servant of Shaul, so making him and his entire household servants to Mephibosheth. Right. So just noting, there seems to be some or this might be. Setting up future problems, right?
Just factually.
Yeah.
So what's happening is that David's saying, in terms of Mephibosheth's household, so Tziva will be in charge, but Mephibosheth as an individual will be the Shulchan HaMelech.
Will be the what?
Shulchan HaMelech, meaning Mephibosheth as an individual will be joining the king, you know, David himself, whereas Mephibosheth as like the beginning of a family will be, his house will be taken care of by Tziva.
Yeah, it's a little unclear what exactly the arrangement is.
And his son, his little grandson, or whatever, Mephibosheth's son, will eat in with Siva.
Right. Well, doesn't it say that, wait, with Siva? I thought he would be with Mephibosheth.
It says, you should bring in the produce to be bread for Micha.
Oh, in the brackets there.
Yeah, that
oh.
Seems like
the right. Right. So it's, you know, Mephibosheth ben Adonai Yochatami Lacham Al Shulchani Lasivachami. You know, it's there's some elements here that are a little bit unclear, because it's in other words, is it that in other words, is Tziva providing for Mephibosheth, or is David providing for Mephibosheth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and there's probably a reason why there's a little bit of confusion there, right? So, but let's put that behind us for a moment, and continue on, because I think the problems get deeper. I don't want to get too caught up in that problem. Okay, so all right. So, but just noting, there seems to be a problem. Okay, so Okay, so go ahead, Perek Yud.
Does anybody else want to read?
Volunteers? Doesn't sound like it.
Okay.
I'll try.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Okay.
We're now Perek Yud.
Right?
Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph. Yeah.
Okay. Vayhi acharechein. I know it's after that. Vayamas malach b'nei Amon. And the king of the children of Amon died. Vayamas Hanun b'no tachtav. And Hanun, his son, ruled after him instead of him. Vayomer David. David said, Esa chesed im Hanun ben Nachash. I will do kindness with Hanun, the son of Nachash, kasher asa aviv imadi, like his father did with me, chesed, kindness. Vayishlach David l'nachamo biad avadav el aviv. And David sent to console him in the hand of his servant to his father. David Eretz B'nei Amon. And the servants of David came to the land of the sons of Amon.
Okay, so does anybody remember who Nachash is from Shmuel Aleph?
Is he the one who attacked Eliani at the beginning of Shaul's reign?
He was what?
The one who attacked at the beginning of Shaul?
That's right. That's when Shaul was chosen as king. So he, many of the people didn't want to follow him. It says, B'nai Belial. So just some despicable people didn't want to follow him. And then Nachash attacked. So now that happened in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, it's on page 668. That Nachash, the Ammoni, came and he attacked Yavesh Gilad. So, and Shaul went and he saved the people of Yavesh Gilad. But it's worth taking a look at what Nachash wanted to do. So everybody look on page 668, Perek Yud Aleph. So, Vayal Nachash Ammoni. Nachash the Ammonite went up. Vayichan al Yavesh Gilad. And he encamped upon Yavesh Gilad. This was a city which was immediately north of Ammon, on the other side, on the eastern bank of the Yarden. So Vayomeru kon sheYavesh el Nachash. So the all the men of Yavesh said to Nachash, Kiraslanu v'ris v'navdeka. So make a covenant with us, and we will serve you. V'yomer lehem, he said to them, Nachash Ammoni. So Nachash the Ammonite said to them, Bezosech ros lachem. Here's how I will cut a deal with you. Binkor lachem kol ein yamin. If you all gouge out your right eye, v'samtiach erpal kol Yisrael. And it'll be a sign of shame for all of Israel. Vayomer elav ziknei avish heraf lanu shivas yamim v'nishlach ha-malachim b'chol gvul Yisrael v'im ein moshiyah otanu v'yatzanu elecha. The elders of Yavesh said, give us reprieve 7 days, we'll send messengers throughout the borders of Israel, nobody comes to save us, then we'll come out to you. So that's the basic story, and Shaul, that's where he proves himself, and the men of Yavesh Gilad become very, very loyal to Shaul afterwards, but that's a whole separate story. So that's who Nachash was. Now now here, though, something strange seems to be happening. David says, let's do kindness with Hanun, the son of Nachash, as his father, meaning Nachash, did with me chesed. Now, what exactly that chesed was, the Mefarshim give different possibilities, but could be that when, most likely, when David was on the run from Shaul, he was able to find refuge for him or his family by Nachash, because they were enemies of Shaul. So David, in other words, when he would deal with the other nations, so he would deal with them as the enemy. He would say, "I'm the enemy of Shaul," so and that would help him, get refuge from the other nations. So, but still a little bit strange. So David sent to Lenachamo to console him. Okay, so now you can go ahead. So we're up to Yud Gimel.
And the officers of the sons of Ammon said to Hanun, their master, "Hamachabei David esavicha beinecha kishalach lecha menachemim." Is David honoring your father in our eyes by sending you comforters? Hello, Bavor Chakor Esair Luragwa Lacha Shalach David El Avadavi Lacha. Isn't he just trying to search out the city and to
To overthrow it?
Overthrow it and turn it over. Is David sending servants to you? Okay, he's like saying he has ulterior motives. He's not trying to comfort. They call Hanun S of David, and Hanun took the servants of David by Galach S Chati Zekanam, and he cut off half of their beards.
Right.
By Rose S Madvehem, Chati Chisusehem, by Shalfem. And he cut off, I don't know what Madvehem is.
They're clothes.
Oh, okay.
It was right down the middle.
Okay. And he threw them out, sent them away. Okay.
Yeah. So okay. This is not a case of of Chanun Kishmo Kenhu. So he was not a very gracious and kind person. He shaved off half their beards, cut their clothes down the middle, and sent them away.
Vayagidu David, and he told to David, Vayishalach Bikrasam, Keyu Anashim Michlamim Mod. Okay, so, and they told to David, and they sent word to.
Well, they told David, what happened.
Right.
So he sent people to greet, to meet up with those messengers, with those servants.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, because they were very ashamed.
Oh, okay. So, he wanted to find out what happened, because they wouldn't come directly, because they were so, okay.
In other words, David found out what happened, so he made sure to send people to meet them, because they're very, very embarrassed, because half their beard is shaved off, and the style then was not to, was to have a beard. It would be very, very embarrassing to come back with half your beard shaved.
Okay. So the king said, go return to...
Or remain.
Okay. Until your beard grows out, and then you'll return.
Right.
Return meaning, you'll come out again? What do you mean? Like, return to...
No,
they went to Yericho. Oh, to Yericho. Okay, stay there.
Remain in Yericho. Adi samach zikanchem v'shavtem until your beards grow back, and then you can come back.
Okay.
So you won't be embarrassed.
Right.
Okay.
Vayeru b'nei Amon ki nivashu b'David, and the sons of Amon saw that they were nivashu.
They become repugnant to David.
Okay.
Well, obviously, David's not going to think so kindly of them at this point.
Okay. Vayishachu b'nei Amon, and the sons of Amon sent, Vayishkru es Aram, Beis Rehov, es Aram, Sova es Bim Elef, Rugli, Ves Malach Macha, Elef Ish, Vish Tov, Shnemasar, Elef Ish. Okay, so they,
They hired.
Right. Okay.
I mean, he needs backup. You know, the king of Ammon realizes this battle he's not going to be able, or this is David we're talking about.
Okay, so he starts getting scared about what he did.
Yeah, so now he's got to hire lots of other armies to come to his aid.
Uh-huh. Okay, so he hires Aram from Beis Rehov, and Aram had an army of 20,000 soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And he also hired Melech Macha, who had 1,000 men. Ish Tov, Shneim Asar, Elef Ish. Is this another one, or is this part describing?
Right, Ish Tov had 12,000 men.
Okay. Vayishma David, and David heard, Vayishlach es Yoav, and he sent Yoav, Vayis Kol HaTzava HaGiburim, and the whole army of mighty men, I don't know, warriors, I don't know.
Well, there were different, there were different units.
Okay.
It talks about at the end of Shmuel Beis, he had different units, like the 30, the this, the that, you know, each one had its name.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent it, you know, so they were an elite unit.
Vayitzu b'nei Amon, and the sons of Amon went out. Vayarchu milchama pesach ha'shar, and they arranged, is that the right word?
Yeah.
A war at the entrance of the gate. Baram Sova Urchov the Ish Tov Umacha Levadam Basadeh. Okay, so and there was Aram Sova and Urchov and Ish Tov and Macha alone was in the field.
Right.
Bayar Yoav Ki Haisai Lav Pnei HaMechama Mipanim Umeachor. And Yoav saw that there was basically, it was surrounded.
Basically, right. In front and in back, the war.
Vayichar Mikol Bichrei Yisrael, and he chose from all of the...
In other words, like the choicest of, you know, of Israel, the finest soldiers.
Vayaroch Likras Aram, and he arranged... He sent them out.
Right.
To
against Aram.
Greet Aram. Yester, Nasan Biyaj Avshai Achiv. And the rest of the nation he gave in the hands of Avshai, his brother.
Right. He split up the army into two. So he's going to take one, and he's going to deploy against Aram. And his brother, he's going to take the rest of the army, and then go ahead, Vayaroch.
They crossed B'nai Amon. And
right. They
were going to greet B'nai. They were going to
go against
B'nai Amon.
Right, in other words, he'll take on Aram, his brother will take on B'nai Amon.
Vayomer im tachzak Aram mimeni vaysali lishua v'im bnei Amon yechazku mimcha talachti levshialach. And he said, if Aram
like, I forget the word, but, like, takes hold over me, like, it's stronger, like, is
overpowers
me, right. Then you'll come save me, and if Spinaomon do overpower you, and I'll come save you.
Right.
Chazak and Chazak, the Adamenu, who the Adare Elokenu. Hashem Yasset Hatov Beinav. Be strong and, you know, be fortified. The Adam,
like we will be strong together, right?
Okay. The Adamenu, the Adare on behalf of?
Yeah, for the sake of our nation and for the sake of the cities of our Lord.
Right.
It's a rousing, you know, military speech.
And Hashem will do that which is good in his eyes.
Right.
Vaygash Yoav v'ham asherimo l'mechama ba'aram v'yanusu mipanav. And Yoav and the nation that was with him approached Aram for battle, and they ran away from before them.
Right.
So v'nei Amon ra'u kinaf Aram v'yanusu mipnei Avishai v'yavo ha'ir v'yashav Yoav me'al v'nei Amon v'yavo Yerushalayim. And the sons of Amon saw that Aram ran away, and they ran away from before Avishai, and they came to the city, and Yoav returned from the sons of Ammon and came to Jerusalem.
Right. All right. So basically, they win the battle, but the war's not over.
Vayar Aram ki nigaf lifnei Yisrael v'yeyatsu yachad. And Aram saw that he was beaten by for Israel, and he gathered together.
Right.
Vayishlach hadarezer v'yotzei es Aram asher me'ibar hanahar v'yavo chelam. And he sent Hadarezer, and he went.
Well, Hadarezer sent.
Oh, okay. Hadarezer sent, and he took Aram out.
Right. But Yotzei at Aram, Asher Me'ivar HaNahar. In other words, Aram was a city state. You know, so he took Aram that was over the river.
Oh, the place. Okay. Vayavo Chelam, and he came to Chelam.
No, their armies came. Chelam, Vayavo Chelam, their armies came. There was his armies.
Okay.
You know, so the armies came.
Okay. All right. Okay. Bishovach Asar Tzva Hazarazar with Nahem. And the head officer of Hadarezer.
On that previous pasuk, isn't
Chelam
the place?
Chelam, I thought means.
I'm just looking at the Togum. The Togum says Lichelam.
It says hold on. Chelam, it says is a place.
And the Metzud is the same thing.
Okay, hold on. Let me see. All right, so we'll go. We'll say it's a place then. All right, so what is it? Yud Tet Zion. Right, there it says it, right. Okay.
Okay, so Shovach, the commander of Hadarezer, was before them, leading them. Vayigad was David, and it was told to David, Yasof es kol Israel, and he gathered together all of Israel. Ve'avor et ha'yardin, and he crossed over the Yardin. Ve'avo chelama, and he came to
okay, there, right there. Yep. Right, because that, in other words, that would be, in other words, you would have thought before it would have said ve'avo chelama, but now it says ve'avo chelama.
Oh.
Right, so they came to Ceylon.
Okay.
Right, see, the art scroll there says they're armies. So we'll worry about that another time. Okay, go ahead.
Ve'yachlu Aram likras chodesh ve'yilach mu'ima. And Aram... what's the word? It's not arranged, obviously. He
well, because when you arrange your armies, so
right.
So the Art Scrolls translation is good. They deployed.
Okay. So I'm deployed
against David,
and he battled him, fought with him.
Right. They fought with him.
By Anas Aram Nipnei Israel, and Aram fled from before Israel. Say Arog David Me Aram Shvame Os Rechev, and David killed from Aram 700 chariots, Ve'arbaim Elef Parashim, and 40,000
horsemen.
Beit Shovach Sar Tzva'o Hika by Amasham. And Shobach, the general, he smote and he died there.
Right, and like the Rambam says, if we lived then, we would probably understand the significance of, Shobach. And, these were probably impressive names that people would have, he defeated Shobach, So, okay, go ahead.
Sayaru Chol Hamalachim Abde Hazar Ezer Ki Nikfu lifnei Israel, vayashlimu es Israel vayavdum, and
all the kings, because they were like city states, one king would be very powerful and the other ones would be,
Okay, so all the kings, the servants of Hadarezer, saw that they were defeated, basically, before Israel, and they made peace with Israel, and they served them. Vayeru Aram Lehoshia Od Es Naaman. And Vayeru, that's a strange language, I'm not sure what it's saying.
They were afraid. In other words, Aram was afraid to ever try to save Bnei Amon again. In other words, they're not going to come to. In words, Aram is
they're
a little
come
bit.
To their aid anymore.
Yeah, okay. Aram's a little bit further away. Usually, they're not coming, down. So they're not going to come around to help Amon anymore. So now the war really is going to just return against Amon because David's not done with Amon. And in the next story, David is going to go out to. We'll see. David doesn't actually go out, and that's part of the problem, but they're going to continue the war against Ammon. And if you remember, they went back to the city. They went back to Rabat Bnei Ammon, their capital, which is a fortified city, and then they began a siege. And that's what we'll see next. And that's where we see the story of Bathsheba. So this war... this war and the previous story about Tziva and Mephibosheth are the background to the story of David and Bathsheba. So my question, so like in the previous one, did David make any mistakes here?
Well, it seems like he shouldn't have sent to the kindness in the first place, because that was what started up the whole problem.
Right. So it seems his first move there's something strange about his first move. First he's he's sending, he had a promise to the house of Shaul. He's helping out Mephibosheth, but now he wants to send Menachamim to Hanun, the son of Nachash. Even if Nachash did something good for David. Let's not forget who Nachash is. This is the man that attacked Yavesh Gilad and told them, I'll make peace with you if you all gouge out your right eye, so that I can shame Israel. So So that seems like a strange person to send to his son, you know, Menachemim, you know, to be Menachem Avil to such a person seems a bit strange, right?
I think David wishes he wouldn't have to be at war anymore.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because, like, maybe he's trying to avoid, he's, like, trying diplomacy because he doesn't really want it. He wishes that he could just not be fighting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. Explain.
I don't know. That's it.
I thought you wanted to expound on that.
No.
Are you saying that that's what's happening with Mephibosheth and Siva as well?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I guess taking care of Mephibosheth would signal the end of the war, and he wants it to be over. And then he's, like, sending out diplomatic things to Hanun. He just wants to be in the next stage of the country where you don't have to constantly be fighting and just... You can send out diplomacy.
Right. So I like the direction that you're going in. Anybody else? Observations? Questions? Okay, I guess that's a no. So it seems. I like the direction that you're going in, Yael. Whereas it seems very, very troubling that the first story with Tziva Mephibosheth, you could pass it off as David being nice. But then the next story, if you notice, how does it begin? Does anybody see how Perek Yud begins? So it says, Pasuk Aleph, Vayihi Acharechein, and it was afterwards, after that. So after what?
After the war?
After the
battle with... After the whole episode with Mephibosheth. So, and usually, I don't know if the Chazal bring it out here, usually when you see a Vayihi Acharechein, it's definitely connecting the two, but also sometimes indicates some problem. So the it seems that the two events are connected. And I think that, I like what you're saying, Yael, or that seems to be the beginning of a nice theory, right? That it's worth at least tentatively going with Yael's theory, unless somebody has another theory, that it seems David wanted to in other words, put the past behind him. In other words, everything with Shaul, it's all great now. I can provide for his household. Everything, the enemies of Israel, I could even send Menachemim, I could be Menachem Avel to the son of Nachash. I mean, everybody knows who Nachash is. And if you ask me, I think of anything, people would be a little bit offended. Imagine you send to the son of Osama bin Laden on the death of Osama bin Laden. Let's put the past behind us. You know, are we going to send Menachemim to the children of Arafat? You know, it's that's a little bit disturbing. So, even if Nachash did something nice for David, but let's remember why, because Shaul.